How many of you get stressed out around Christmas time? Anybody? I was telling my wife last year, I said, I love remembering the birth of Christ, but I just can't stand the way we celebrate Christmas. In other words, I love the idea of Christmas, but I hate what we've done to it. Okay? And we're going to talk about that a bit this morning. Merry Stressmas. We were by ourselves for Thanksgiving, and as it happened, one of the stores in the area was having a special sale, and we figured, hey, this would be a great time to get my wife a winter coat. She didn't really have a very good winter coat. So we went to the store to get this winter coat, and as we went, we did a good job. I found a really nice winter coat, really good deal on it. She felt really good. You know, it was like one quarter of the original price, and so we felt pretty good about that. And as we were making our way out to the car, this individual in a Mercedes comes flying up the driveway of the mall, almost hits my poor wife, whips around in front of me and backs into the space in front of me. You know what I mean? Because they want to be able to pull out forwards. And as we're getting out of the car, what do you think they're doing? They're eyeballing my poor wife. Remember that? How dare you get in my way? I want to shop and you are in my way. You know? Did you know that the speed limit in parking lots in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is 15 miles an hour? That's the law. This lady's probably doing triple that. Zoom. I've got to get in there and get that one thing that I need to have for Christmas. In getting ready for this message, I tried to compile a list of some potential things that happen this time of year which may contribute to an increased level of stress that we may feel in the holiday season. See if any of these stressors ring a bell for you. Pun intended. You know, ring a bell. Get it? Shopping for gifts. Does that stress anybody else out? I know. All the men are going like this. All ladies are going like this. That stresses me out. Getting to all the necessary holiday parties or putting up decorations. Does that stress anybody? No? I would just challenge you to come by the Parsons some night this week after, say, 5 o'clock when it gets dark out and see the Van Horn Christmas Light Spectacular that's out there. You ever see those projector lights they've got now that project the sparkly stuff on your house? We thought we were getting one of those. We ended up with three disco balls. And you'll see exactly what we're talking about. These were half that. $20. How about making enough cookies to give your pastor? Has that stressed anybody else out? No? Nobody should do that this year, right? One of the things that I find most aggravating is fighting traffic. You know, just the extra time it takes you to get everywhere because of all the people that are driving, like idiots. Or having enough money to buy gifts. You know, you got all these gifts you want to get for people and you don't think you're going to have enough money. That stresses people out. The highest time for me in my counseling schedule every year is January and February. Every single year. My counseling schedule gets fuller in January and February. And I think it's because of people having to pay the bills that they incurred over Christmas. You know, they get their credit card bills immediately, they're depressed. Gaining weight. That stress anybody else out? Okay. How about untangling strands of Christmas lights? How about my favorite one, and that's hearing George Michael sing Last Christmas one more stinking time. Oh, I can't stand that song. And I can't stand him. Don't you start singing that song. Cleaning the house, getting ready for relatives or friends who will be visiting. Here's a stressor for some people, knowing that they're going to spend Christmas alone. Some people are worried about all the people they're going to have to entertain. Some people are worried about not having anybody and being alone. And that's tough. How about hearing A Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney one more stinking time? Oh, I hate that song. I don't like Last Christmas, and I don't like A Wonderful Christmas Time. When I hear those songs, it doesn't give me a wonderful Christmas time. Some people are stressed by missing loved ones who've passed away. That's a real stressor for some people. Another stressor for some is paying off their bills. Yeah, getting those credit card bills paid off. Once that they have paid way too much. Last year, I think I heard it said that the average Christmas shopper spent between $3,000 and $4,000 on Christmas presents. That's a lot of money, isn't it? How about hearing Mariah Carey sing one more time, one more lousy Christmas song that she oversang? I can't stand listening to Mariah Carey either. Have you ever noticed that I don't like a whole lot of music that's on the radio? Don't like Mariah Carey, don't like Paul McCartney, don't like George Michael. I don't know what stresses you out over Christmas. But I'll tell you something. I saw videos yesterday, and I saw videos Friday night of people fighting over Christmas gifts in stores. One particular video showed this one woman coming to a little child and ripping a gift out of its hand so that she could give the child the gift that kid had. People fighting? I can't wait until Monday when all the news outlets will be telling all the people that were injured or killed on Black Friday because of shopping. Here's my theory, folks, and you let me know if you're down with this theory, okay? My theory is that if we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday, that we should do it in a way that makes the guests of honor proud and happy. Do you agree with that? Okay, good, good. What does all this stuff have to do with Jesus' birthday? Does any of it have anything to do with Jesus' birthday? Heck no. There's a humorous little story we find here in the book of Luke chapter 10. I find humor in it. I don't know if you'll find humor in it, but then again, you know, I get excited over little bitty things in Scripture, and this is one of those things that I get a kick out of. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. This isn't a Scripture that you normally associate with Christmas, but I'm hoping you'll get the idea, okay? Luke chapter 10, starting verse 38. So please open your Bible to that. Okay, Luke 10. Reading from the NIV. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things. The few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." What's stress? What is stress? Well, Lord, Martha said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this stuff all by myself? Tell her to help me." Okay? It's as if Jesus would say, "Hey, Mary, go help your sister." I think that Martha was experiencing some stress. What do you think? It sounds like it to me. Rushing around trying to get everything ready. After all, Jesus was in the house. And so she's trying to make things just right. And she comes and I can hear her thinking. And as I read what she said between the lines, it sounds to me like she's saying something like, "Doesn't anybody else in this house care how busy I am? Don't you see that?" So she comes in the room with the hors d'oeuvres. I don't know what kind of hors d'oeuvres she was serving, if any. And she comes and says, "Oh, Mary," between the lines, remember, "dear sister, there you are. That's okay. Don't bother getting up. I'll do all this myself while you sit there and do nothing, even though I'm working in the kitchen all alone." Okay, that's what my grandma Clark would have said. My grandmother Clark was one of the greatest martyrs that ever lived, and she did it very sweetly. She would feed my brother, my grandfather, and me, and then she would eat when we're done. And she would often say something like this, "That's okay. You guys eat all you want. I'll just eat whatever is left." I think Mary had a sister named Martha, and Martha had a sister named Florence. That's my grandmother. Did you know that stress is an alarm system in your body? Did you know that? That the Lord gave you the ability to register stress because, well, it's important for us to understand it. Stress can be caused by anything that creates a status of arousal or alarm. Okay, if you want to look at stress and look at it clinically, stress is anything that causes arousal or alarm in your system. So there are good kinds of stress and there are bad kinds of stress. You get it? One of the good kinds of stress is pain. Believe it or not, that's a good kind of stress, because if you have pain in your body, it's your body telling you, don't do that. Okay? There to help protect you. Stress can result from anything that annoys you. Any of you annoyed by George Michael singing Last Christmas? I am. Matter of fact, whenever that song comes on, we've got two Christmas stations on the radio, 100.7 and 101.1. So whenever that song comes on, I switch the station to the other one. I'm going to be in real trouble if it's playing on both stations. Stress can be caused by anything that threatens you. Okay? A car coming at you at high speed, that's a threat. Your body, your hypothalamus will kick in. It'll send your body the cue that you should have adrenaline in your system. Your adrenaline secreting glands will go boom. You get the fight or flight syndrome, you jump out of the way. Okay? It can be caused by anything that excites you, anything that scares you, anything that worries you, anything that makes you know you have to hurry. Hurry is a stressful thing. Anger comes from stress. Frustrations, challenges, criticism. All these things cause stress. How many of you have never felt any of the things that I just mentioned? Put it this way, stress comes from anything that is pleasant or unpleasant. There are good stresses as well as bad ones. Yes, clinically speaking. Think about a rubber band, folks. I was going to demonstrate this to you this morning, but I don't want to do it for several reasons, okay? But imagine for a second I got a rubber band and I'm stretching it as hard and as far as I can. What happens to a rubber band when you stretch as far and as hard as you can and you keep it in a state of tension for too long? I was going to demonstrate this morning what this does, but it hurt. I tried it. Stretch your rubber band as long and as hard as you can, and when it snapped, it hurt. I was like, ow, I don't want to do that in front of everybody, so I'm just going to pretend I got a rubber band here. What is the rubber band for? It's for stretching and then releasing and then stretching and then releasing. When a rubber band is held in tension for too long, it breaks. Right? Well, that's the way we are. If we are held in a state of high tension for too long, it causes breakdowns in our body. Did you know that? Why do you think the pharmacies are so lined up with people getting their anti-anxiety drugs and such like that? Because they're under stress for too long and they don't know how to handle it. So they go and medicate it. If our bodies are repeatedly held in a state of alarm, it shows by damaging consequences. Did you know that if you have frequent headaches, it may be a sign of stress? You might be under some kind of stress if you have too frequent headaches. Some of you might say, no, it's just because I'm married. Or, no, I've just got children. Well, they also put you in a state of stress. Stiffness in the neck, the shoulders, the jaw, and the arms can come from stress. How many of you have ever had a headache that started back here? Starts in the neck. What's that called? That's a tension headache. And it comes from your body's response to stress where you stiffen the muscles in your neck. Did you know that irregular heartbeats can come from stress? Dizziness can come from stress. Stress can weaken your immune system. And if you have things like Epstein-Barr, like my daughter has, if you let your body endure enough stress, okay, if you don't take care of it and you don't get enough sleep, you don't eat the right food, that kind of stuff, it can cause different things to break out in your body. It can cause indigestion. It can cause difficulty falling asleep. It can cause you difficulty in waking up because you have been, well, under stress. It can give you cold hands or cold feet. One of the ways I can tell if I'm making somebody nervous when I'm counseling is if they start wiping their hands on their pants. Why? because I'm giving them sweaty palms, and that's one of these signs of stress. Okay? I was talking to my son the other day, and I was talking, asking about something, asking if something bothered him, and his response was, "No, this doesn't bother me." Did you know that scratching the back of your head is a sign of stress? And I told him that. He goes, "Oh, okay." Did you know that scratching your nose is a sign of stress? If you want to know if somebody's lying to you, ask them a question. If they do this, or start scratching their nose, there's a good chance they're lying to you, because they're feeling the stress of the answer they're about to give you. So don't try lying to me. I'll tell you. I know it. I can see it. Excessive perspiration can come from stress. Anger, irritability, all these things are symptoms of stress in somebody's life. And the holiday season can be a cause of major stress for some people. The rubber band gets stretched pretty tightly in this time of year. So, how many of you, just getting ready for church this morning, exchanged heated words with somebody else in your household as you're getting ready for church? I don't want to see hands. Don't even. How do you want to know? How many of us exchange heated words, or perhaps in the middle of your preparations for Thanksgiving, you exchange heated words because you're under stress from having to do preparations for food and for entertaining folks? If we're exchanging heated words with people, what does it mean? We're under stress. So just in case you're not bummed out by all the stress you're feeling, don't worry, we're going to move on to point number two here very quickly. We've seen what stress is. How do we cure it? What should we do about the stress that we are dealing with? And that's point number two. What is the holiday cure? I love this verse. It says in verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I find humor in that. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Sounds just like some people I know. You know anybody like that? They get so wrapped up in the preparing for stuff that they forget that they're supposed to be enjoying the things that they're preparing for. Whenever I do premarital counseling, I always tell the couples that I'm counseling, the last 2 weeks before you get married, you have to promise that no matter what, you just be nice to each other. No matter what. Because when people are dealing with stress, guess what they do? They get unnice. They get unnice. That's right. I have not seen many couples that didn't have some major blow-up in those last 2 weeks that didn't threaten to destroy everything. I'm not talking about just some people. I'm talking about everybody. I did a marriage one time up in Boston that actually made the newspaper in New York because it was for a couple famous people that were supposedly very well-adjusted. But within the last 2 weeks, it was Pastor Van Horn were calling off the wedding. Why? Well, because she's of this and that and the other thing. And she's saying, well, because he's of this and that and the other thing. Why did they get like that? Because they were stressed out by all the stuff that they had to do. Like Martha, we can get distracted by all the seemingly necessary things. And by getting distracted by these things, we miss the point. Peter Drucker, I don't know if you've ever read him, but Peter Drucker wrote something called The Effective Executive. And he said this: most people have problems that are not priorities, though they think they are priorities. Matter of fact, to quote, most of the problem is not priorities, but it's posteriorities. What he means is, it's not the priorities, it's the things that we choose to leave out. Some of the things that we make priorities really shouldn't be priorities. Did you hear that? Some of the things that we choose to make priorities shouldn't really be priorities. But we make them that way. By focusing on things of lesser importance, we miss out on the things that are the most important. I refer to that as the tyranny of the urgent. Our lives are so full of urgencies that we miss out on the things that are truly important. If I was to ask you, how many of you, without fail this week, had your time of prayer and Bible reading every morning? I'm not going to ask you. I don't want anybody to raise their hand. But how many of you would say that I did that every day this week without fail? And how many of you would say, you know, I would have done that every day this week except for this thing popped up and I had to take care of that. And pretty soon that gets pushed aside. Why does that happen? Because we are involved in posteriorities, making things important that really aren't that important. What was Mary focused on in this story? And what was Martha focused on? Martha was focused on what? The posteriorities. And Mary was focused on what? Jesus. How do we cure the stress of these holidays? First of all, we've got to focus on Jesus. Am I making myself clear here? Do I really need to preach on that too much? I hope not. Because the truth is, the biggest problem I see in the way that we Americans celebrate Christmas is we celebrate the birthday party, but we forget the guest of honor. And that's supposed to be Jesus, yes? Shouldn't it be Jesus? The answer to the whole thing is to be more like Mary and less like Martha. Be like Mary. Look what Jesus tells Martha in verse 42. Few things are needed, indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha chose to do what? Be busy preparing to entertain Jesus. But Mary was busy doing what? Worshiping Jesus. Does that make sense to you? The first thing we should do, what? Is worship Jesus. Your Christmas preparations may all be very good things. Okay? Honoring the people you love, sending cards to people you love, letting them know that you're thinking about them, that you remember them. That may all be very good. It may all be very, very good. But what is the one thing that's needed? Worshiping Jesus. Jesus is what's truly needed. I think we need a little bit more Jesus and a little bit less rocking around the Christmas tree. Amen? I think we need a little more, need a little bit more Jesus and a little bit less Dominic the Donkey. I like the song Dominic the Donkey, but I think we need to understand that Jesus has to be the point of Christmas. Amen? I had a treasurer in my church in Exton, the church I was at before he came here. Really good guy, very good with his finances. He was superb. He was a really, really good treasurer, okay? And all his ducks in order every time for everything. His wife was the founding pastor's daughter of that church. And I asked her, what's your favorite Christmas song? You'd expect it to be some kind of high holy church thing, right? It was, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. And I said, why is that your favorite Christmas song? She said, because it reminds me of childhood. And my childhood when Christmas and things were so much simpler. So while she's singing, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, she might be closer in getting it right than we are. But we're so distracted by things that really aren't necessary. How many of you have been bitten by this? Either you're letting things crowd Jesus out, or you have run headlong into somebody that's doing it. A couple Christmases ago, we were out shopping at a Walmart. I think that people should get hard hats when they walk into Walmart in Christmas season. This lady, and this is no joke, I was coming out of an aisle, and I was making my turn right to get down another aisle with a shopping cart. And this lady literally slammed into the side of my cart with her cart and growled at me, get out of my way. That's not all she said.
I won't tell you the rest of what she said, but it was uncomplimentary, something along the lines of a jerk. And I said, I think I need to go to her and tell her that reverend jerk her.
There's people out there, folks, that don't understand that Jesus is why we celebrate. We need to keep Jesus first. So we're going to be Martha's or we're going to be Mary's. Make up your mind right now. You're going to be Mary this Christmas, pun intended. Get it? Have a Merry Christmas. Point number three, how can we be calm in the midst of the stress that's all around us at this time of year? How can we be more like Mary, simply focusing on what is really important? Well, here's a good place to start, okay? Listen to me. I want you to start this Christmas season, if you haven't already, by making a list of everything that you need to do in order to get ready for Christmas Day. Okay? So make a complete list, write it down on a side of one sheet of paper. This is my list of the things I need to do to get ready for Christmas, and it has everything on there from making cookies for the pastor to putting up the lights. Alright, don't make cookies for the pastor. He's trying to lose weight. Okay? No pies. I never thought I'd say that. Make a big list of everything you need to do, and folks, here comes the hard part. Cross out everything that is not essential. Make that list and cross out everything that's not essential. Some people get so stressed out by sending out all the Christmas cards that they need to send out that I would suggest to you that if that's you, you don't send Christmas cards this year. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? Look, they get you so stressed out that you're like Martha and you're totally missing the point because of that stress, get rid of it. Understand? Cross out everything that takes away from your joy in celebrating the birth of Jesus. So we're not just crossing out things that aren't essential. We're crossing out everything that takes away from your joy in celebrating it. Okay? If there are things on your list that are really stressing you out, do you really have to do that? Do you really have to do it? You absolutely, positively have to put up all the lights in your house this year that you did last year? Is it really that important? If it isn't, don't. You could just come to the Van Horn Park and take in the Christmas lights spectacular there. Number two, after you make your list, number two, lay out a plan. State your expectations up front. What's the main thing that needs to happen this Christmas and plan ahead for it? You hear what I just said? Plan ahead. That's proactive. We get in the most stress when we get in a reactive mode. When we're reacting to things, we get stressed out. Be proactive. Another good idea is don't do it all yourself. Share the load with other people. If you've got 1,000 Christmas cards to make out and you're darn sure you're going to make out all 1,000 Christmas cards, go ahead and write them out. Make somebody else lick the envelopes. Don't you wish they flavored those things? Lighten up the calendar. You may be invited to so many Christmas parties, you may not be able to make all of them. Guess what? It's okay. It's all right. You can't be two places at once. You can only be stretched so tight for so long. And then also, after you lay out your plan, respect your budget. Respect your budget. What does that mean? Thank you. Those are the words I was looking for, Anita. Don't overspend. If all the money you have to pay out for Christmas presents stresses you out, guess what you need to do? No. Get two or three jobs. Because everybody knows that getting the kids that one thing that they're going to put in a yard sale this summer is more important than spending quality time with your kids. Right? Wrong. Long after all those presents are out in the yard sale, your kids will remember what kind of mom or dad you were to them. Does that make sense to you? Or do they really need that PlayStation 6? Or whatever it is this year. 4? I am totally out of sync here. Thirdly, okay, you make your list. Number two, you make a plan. Number three, keep first things first. Keep the main thing the main thing. What is the main thing? It's Christ. It's Jesus. He is the main thing. Spending personal time with Him and worshiping Him is more important than all this other stuff. Jesus needs to be number one on your priority list. Amen? What should be number two? If Jesus is number one, what should be number two? How do you say the kids? No, not the kids. Your spouse. If you have one, the spouse should be next on the priority list. You can't be the mom or dad you need to be if your spouse isn't where they need to be and if Jesus isn't where He needs to be. Do you get that? Some people would think I'm saying horrible things because everybody knows that kids have to come first. No, they don't. Jesus comes first. And your spouse comes next. And then number three, yes, the kids and family. Don't neglect them for what seems like other obligations. You will regret it later if you do. Honor Jesus by honoring your family. And then fourthly, your closest friends that seem like family. You don't have to buy presents for people that don't even hardly know you. Seriously. Focus on those who are in need. Fifthly, there are people out there that are so poor that they may not even have warm clothes to wear this winter. They may not have a bunch of food to put on the table. They may not be able to get presents for their kids. Focus on them. Wouldn't it be something if for Christmas all God's people got serious about giving? Because that's what it's supposed to be about anyway. The holidays don't have to be the most stressful time of year when we, like Mary, focus on Jesus. Stress is a killer. Don't let your stress this holiday season do what little Tommy did to his. Well, I'll tell you the story. One day, little Tommy went to the corner grocery store. This was back in the day when you bought detergent, it came in a box and it was flakes. Remember that day? Way back then, it wasn't all liquid. And there used to be a detergent back in the day called Dove's. Anybody remember Dove's? Remember Duds? Oh, good. I don't remember Duds. This kid went to the corner grocery store and he got some Duds. And he went to the counter and he paid for it. And the guy behind the counter, Mr. O'Brien. Okay? What are you doing with the Duds detergent? And little Tommy says, well, I'm going to go give my cat a bath. And Mr. O'Brien says, you don't use Duds detergent to give a cat a bath. And little Tommy said, oh, okay. And he walks out of the store with his Dove detergent under his arm. A week later, he comes back. Mr. O'Brien says to Tommy, hey, how's your cat doing? And Tommy says, well, he wasn't feeling too good the other night. And he says, I told you, don't use Dove on your cat. And he says, well, it wasn't the Dove that did it. I think it was the spin cycle. The cat survived, folks, okay? The cat was fine, just a little dizzy. God, I'm not going to give anybody ideas. You guys don't put your cat through the spin cycle, okay? Folks, don't let Christmas be a spin cycle. Put Jesus first this Christmas. Will you do that? And the way you relate to your family and your friends and your spouse and everybody, will you put Jesus first? Will you promise me that you won't be so taken up by doing all this urgent stuff like Martha that you forget to do the most important thing? Which is what? Worshiping Jesus. Amen? Will you worship Jesus first? Our Father, this morning we pray that you'd help us to remember. Yes, Lord, we have lots of cute little slogans like Jesus is the reason for the season and all that kind of stuff. But Lord, sometimes we mask our doings with axioms and quick phrases. And we pray, dear God, that you would help us to really keep Jesus first. Lord, help us not to be so busy doing stuff that we forget the reason why we're doing this stuff. Father, we pray you would make Jesus very real. Lord, not just to us, but Father, help us that we make Jesus real in the lives of other people by the way that we model his life and the way that we worship him. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.